Actually, I changed the title to Who Needs Them, because I didn't remember what the first one I sent in was. So anyway, it's good to be here. It's been a while since I gave a talk at the Beltwide. It's probably been four years or more. But I thought I better get in here now because I moved into administration and I've developed a spinal problem also starting to degenerate, because we all know that administrators have no spine, right? So anyway, and Keith Edmondson is on the title twice. There is only one Keith Edmondson, and just be glad that there is, okay? Okay, why narrow roads? Well, we all know about the herbicide resistance in cotton cultivars and the ability to reduce growth with Mapaquat chloride, and also the development of the 15-inch cotton spindle picker that gets over the problems that we had with ultra narrow row. And this particular picker right here, our cotton guys actually put that on an old John Deere. John Deere actually said it couldn't be done, but they found a way of doing it, and it works really well for plot work. Well, anyway, if we look at fiber yields that we get typically in North Carolina, we get a very consistent yield response, positive yield response. And we started out with ultra narrow rows, and this is old data, but I had to have something to talk about since I moved to administration. I'm starting to run out of things. But anyway, in 97 through 2000, at various planting dates, virtually every environment except the 97 environment, we had a positive yield response to narrow rows, whether it be ultra narrow row or 15-inch rows versus conventional. But ultra narrow row has gone down the road because of its problems with quality and the fact that we had to use a stripper picker to harvest it. Well, if we look at other yields, If we look at other yields, this is some data by Davey Wilson, who got his PhD about 2 years ago with Alan York, and he looked at various narrow row populations versus the down here. Okay, now they said I'm supposed to use the cursor. Anyway, that's going to be a problem because I don't see how that's going to happen. Anyway, but we got positive yield responses to narrow rows. This is 15-inch rows as compared to the 97 centimeters or 38-inch rows in all environments, even at the 34,000 seeds per hectare. Sorry for the units. I didn't put them into English units. So we get positive responses in North Carolina to narrow rows on a regular basis. So why do we get fairly consistent yield responses in North Carolina? I decided to look at temperature, and I looked at 20 locations over the southeast cotton belt. I did not include the western, more arid environments, because they are arid and there are obviously other factors involved. So I took five from each region, the first being above 35 degrees latitude. The next one was 33 to 35, next one 31 to 33, and the final one below 31 degrees latitude. And if we plot these for each month, and this is cumulative throughout the year, so this is May, we have a very nice linear relationship, negative as the latitude, degree latitude goes up, the accumulated DD60s goes down. And this is from cottonheatunits.com, and I would advise you to check that out, because they have 30-year averages for DD60s, and you can also look at the present season. If we look at June through June, so this is additive, this is May and June together, the same type of correlation, a high correlation of R-square of 0.91, and this doesn't change. If we go add on July, it's basically the same situation. If we add on August, the same. September, in the left side of the graph, the y-axis is going up as you add each month to it, and finally September, and October. So there's a definite negative correlation, regression, whatever, between accumulated DD60s and degree latitude. Well, it's hard to tell by these individual graphs what's really going on, but if you put the slopes for each month onto one graph, you can see where the particular compression is occurring in the Northeast. And that would be during May and June on this end, and also October and to a certain degree September. July and August, we tend to have similar heat units as the rest of the Cotton Belt, slightly less, but not as much of a difference as you see early in May and June. Well, May and June is the first 40 days, and that's what we've heard over a number of years about the first 40 days being important for cotton production. We just don't get the heat units that you get in the Mid-South, and certainly not all the way down into southern Texas. So what does, what if physiological responses are affected? If we look at canopy closure, and we used a digital camera and a stand and took five pictures within each plot over the season. We did a number of measurements over the season, a number of years. And we had a program that would count the pixels that were green versus the ground colored pixels. And I will point out that the pixel is from the snipe family. It's elusive, yet measurable. And we had canopy closure, and this is very typical. I'm only going to show you one example, but this is conventional and ultra-narrow row and narrow row cotton in 2000, planted late. The conventional row width was slower to reach canopy closure. The narrow row was intermediate, and the ultra-narrow row closed the fastest. And that was very typical of the responses we would see. We also looked at canopy photosynthesis using a mylar covered chamber. This is aluminum frame. And this is particular picture is from soybeans, but it's the same thing we would use for cotton. And we would measure, it's a closed infrared gas analyzer system. You put the top on and measure photosynthesis over about a 1 to 2 minute period. And in the soil, there are bases that are left in the soil at the same plots over the season, and you fill them with water. You have to level them when you first put them in. You put water in the day of your measurement, and it gives a water seal at the base of the chamber. If we look at photosynthesis, and this is micromoles of CO2 per meter squared ground area per second versus days after planting, we find a very similar type of response that we saw in canopy closure. The ultra-narrow row and narrow row widths had higher rates of canopy photosynthesis, and in this case, the conventional never really did catch up to the narrow row widths. If we look at, this is another example, 99 from Rocky Mount, and also micromoles of CO2 per meter squared per second. Same thing at days after planting, very similar situation as seen in the earlier slide, except the conventional in this case did finally catch up late in the season at about 120 days after planting. Well, if we take this data, and this is all three row widths and over a season, and we plotted canopy photosynthesis against canopy closure, we have a nice linear relationship until canopy closure is attained with an R-square of 0.72 and highly significant. And this is prior to and up to canopy closure. The yellow represents after canopy closure, and you can see that there is a drop in canopy photosynthesis without any associative drop in canopy closure. And that doesn't initially make sense, but you start to lose lower leaves later in the season, and that affects the canopy photosynthesis to a certain degree, but also there's aging and mutual shading within the canopy, which is probably an even more important aspect of the decline in photosynthesis. So there certainly is a relationship between canopy closure and canopy photosynthesis. So to finally conclude, why do narrow rows work for us? Well, one thing I found out that it gets warmer as one travels south. Okay, and I put a lot of time into this, so. I mean, I'm from New York and I lived in Mississippi for 6 years, so believe me, I know that already. But quite simply, narrow rows assure canopy closure in environments that are less than optimal. And less than optimal would be lower heat units that we see in May and June, and a shorter season in general. These correspond to higher canopy photosynthesis rates, and do other environmental factors impact this response? Most assuredly they do. Soil types, water, night temperature, and the list goes on. And I would say it's more about whether you have a weak environment versus a stronger environment that would result in higher optimal rates of growth and yield. And finally, with that, I will answer any questions that you may have. I would consider that conventional, yeah. I mean, but I would say that, I'm supposed to repeat the questions. I'm gonna get yelled at if I don't do this. Your question was, what do you consider 30-inch rows? And my answer, I'll repeat that too, is that I consider those wide rows. But you would have some benefit of having a more narrow width between the rows. This was, they were all different. I'm not even going to try to say what they were because I don't really remember right now. But they were, the conventional was around, let me think, I got to go from metric into, I'm not going to try to do that. Any more questions? Right. Yeah. I don't know why that's there. It's real, believe me. I always seem to find one of those in every study I do, so I have no explanation. Any other questions? Thanks.